Hello everyone and welcome to the CMO Stories podcast, season 2, episode 12. Today I'm very excited to be joined by Sandy. Sandy, how are you?
Oh wow, I'm doing great. I'm still a little tired from all my travels, but it's great to be back home.
Yeah, you know, all those travel. It's good to be to travel, to meet new people, to have new experiences, but coming back is always also a good feeling. So guys, I just had a look at Sandy's Wikipedia page. Yes, she has one. And I hope it's up to date, Sandy, but let me just say who you are for my listeners. So Sandy Kartner, guys, is an American businesswoman, speaker and author. And she was a general manager at IBM from 2013 till 2016, vice president at Amazon Web Services from 2017 till 2021. And currently, she is senior VP of business development at Unstoppable Domains. I think it's a fascinating company, a fascinating business. So Sandy, I know you from the Crypto Business Conference and also from some podcasting around Web3. So you talked about digital identity and so on. But first, I heard you talk about blockchain in general, and I like the way that you explained that. So my first question is, to someone that doesn't know Web3 or blockchain, how would you explain blockchain?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. And it was great to see you in person live at Web Summit. This guy was all over the place. So he was getting you great content, I have to tell you, you know, even as I was there and I wasn't there the whole time. So thank you, thank you, thank you for having me. So let's talk a little bit about how I envision this whole space. And I always think in pictures. So for me, I imagine like a layer cake. And at the bottom of the layer cake is blockchain. And blockchain for me is so exciting because it is the backbone, not just of Web3 and the metaverse, but for so many financial services companies, supply chain companies, you name it, blockchain is now, as a technology, a trusted, private, secure value exchange. And the power of the chain, as we like to call it, is that it provides transparency. So you have public and open source information. It provides ownership, which you'll see is the basis of the difference of Web2 versus Web3. It's interoperable. So you have the ability to move things around through your applications. It's immutable, so it can't be changed. I always joke that, you know, I grew up with my parents telling me, be careful what you post on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I tell my daughters, be careful what you put on chain, and it's programmable. So it is really the backbone of everything we do. And sitting on top of the blockchain is Web3. And Web3 now gives you that decentralized access and digital identity that is so powerful. And I know we're going to spend some more time on digital identity. And then, of course, the metaverse, which adds in AR and VR, that digital experience. And then, of course, DAOs surround all of it, which now brings in artificial intelligence and to give us that AI-driven dynamic governance model. A DAO is a decentralized autonomous organization.
Right.
And then the real power is on both sides of that layer cake are the two-sided marketplace. You've got the creator economics on one side, which is that multi-sided value creation. And on the other side, these digital networks, which are multi-sided consumption networks. So that's kind of how I think about it, what it looks like in my brain as I visually think about, you know, what this is.
Yeah, I think, you know what, together with the podcast episode, there will be an article, and how you talked about this, I think it would be good to add a schema to this article. But I remember a schema that you showed with blockchain on it, with metaverse on it, and so on. And also, I remember you defining blockchain as really a chain of blocks and storage and units. I really like that. It's so simple, but sometimes you need to go back to that to explain to people. I'm also at this moment writing for a book about Web3. And then again, I need to find the right ways to talk to other marketers about Web3 because they are not there yet. So it's really exciting world. Also, if you look at Gartner hype cycle, you know, you see there the metaverse, it's really early. Blockchain is already a bit later. But what I found also fascinating about your story, you mentioned it already, is this digital identity. it was really when hearing you speak about it that it made like in my brain like tick, okay, that's what it is about, these domain names. But perhaps for our listeners, how would you define digital identity?
Yeah, so digital identity is a way for you to identify yourself. You have it today in the Web 2 world, and it's different in the Web 3 world. So let me start with Web 2. Mm-hmm. So today, you actually have a digital identity, but it's kind of owned by applications. So for example, when you sign into Google with your username and password, that is your digital identity today in the Web 2 world. You do the same with Twitter. You do the same with Instagram. You're logging in and signing in with a username and password. Data is stored with that username and password. But in the Web 2 world, that data goes to the company, the entity, the country where you're using that username and password, almost like a trade, right? A convenience. For the convenience of logging into this application, I collect data about you. Now, that data is really valuable, though. So those companies sell that data. And in fact, the information or the research shows that as of today, Facebook and Google made about $100 billion off of data that they sold about you. And that could be to a retailer or an ad agency or some location so that they can capitalize on that information. That's your digital identity in the Web 2 world. Now let's fast forward into Web 3. So in the Web 3 world, that digital identity stays with you. You are the owner, complements of blockchain, so that user ownership kicks in. And so now you have a single user ID that you log in with, like mine is sandy.nft. I don't know what yours is. You said you have
it's, I have a difficult day for English speaking people, but it's yuri.nft actually.
Yuri.nft. Okay. So if we do Yuri.nft, now anytime Yuri signs into an application, that digital identity stays with Yuri. So the data also stays with Yuri. So that could be information about him and how he used the application. It could be, you know, simply his social media stats or certification that he has. And now the power comes in that he gets to decide who gets the data, when they get that data, how they get that data, and how much of the data that they get. So that for me is really an essential, I like to call it a human right to know about your data, because your data is who you are. And so it really enables you to control what's going on. I always love to give a couple of examples. My husband and I were in the car. We used to live in Texas. We got asked to go to a party, a Texas party. We were in California. So we were chatting in the car, you know, what should we wear? You know, how should we dress for this Texas party? Of course, we got home. I go inside and I pick up my phone. And now I have all these advertisements on Facebook about Stetson hats and Roper boots. And so, you know, obviously in that small amount of time, that data was used and leveraged for benefit of that company. And we laugh at that example, but then I give an example where, you know, one of my great friends, his son unfortunately has a very serious condition. It's a rare condition. So he went online and started Googling about it. And then, you know, in less than a day, he started getting, you know, information about how to cure this illness or healthcare information or hospitals that specialized in it. And now it's not so funny, right? Because that's really personal about you.
Yeah.
And so that's the big difference of digital identity. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was listening to you and about digital identity. You know, you go to places and they ask you more information, and actually they need, you check in at the hotel, they ask your identity card, you go to Disneyland, they take picture of yourself and they have your information. And I wonder, why do they all need that? And I think perhaps those are not the best examples, but about the digital identity, what I like, what you explain is that you choose what you share, you know, with those other instances. That I think it's really powerful. Another thing that I like about this digital identity, this is because when I just came into, you know, the Web3 space with those wallet addresses, so complex, and I said, okay, I need to transfer money or Bitcoin or whatever, Ether. How will I do this? I cannot make a mistake. And of course, everyone makes mistakes because you don't see what you're transferring to. And this is something that I really like, one of the main advantages of unstoppable domains that you have, of my Yuri.nft, that people can send me, you know, Bitcoin to my Yuri.nft, you know, wallet instead of the complex wallet. Perhaps you want to comment some more on that?
Yeah, so the digital identity part of that domain is wicked important, of course, but there are also a lot of other use cases for that domain. One, which you talked about, which is the ability to send and receive crypto payments, was the very first use case for that Web3 domain. Other use cases, which I think are really important, are the ability to put up a decentralized website. And the reason that that's important is now nobody can take that website down. You own that website. It's up on a decentralized web. And so now you could launch and, you know, create content for your community or be a thought leader or advocate for a particular passion. And that information cannot be removed by anybody else. So working with Brave and some of the other Web3 browsers, you can now have your own decentralized website too. And then one of my favorite use cases, and there are about 20 use cases right now, I won't go through all of them, but it's email as well, right? So you can use that domain to do an end-to-end encrypted email. And you can do that as a consumer. You would use, you know, sandy.nft at ud.me. So I would now have an encrypted end-to-end email. If I was a partner of Unstoppables, I also now have a privacy-centered way to communicate as well. So I can still send emails out to people's, you know, addresses, but I don't have access to them. I don't store them. So we're hashing them so that they can't be seen. So that ability in email provides privacy and end-to-end encryption as well. And I could go on and on and on. There's so many cool
there are so, I know. I know. It's so fascinating, Sandy. You know, those actually were the three that I am using at this moment. At this website, I will build one. So I saw that really I'm using Brave already long time. And I see, okay, this is really a decentralized website. And what is awesome about Unstoppable that I bought a domain and it's for life. So I cannot lose it anymore. As you said, the data is there. So this gives a comfortable feeling actually for me to have this. On the other side, email, that's also interesting application, of course, that you have this, if I might call this Web2 possibilities that you have now with the Web3 flavor on it, and which it gives you the power. And I would say also the encryption and so on. That's, I think it's really interesting. When you talk about digital identities, you talked about Sandy.nft, but for someone listening to the podcast, is one identity enough, or would you recommend to have more digital identities?
So I always like to say that, well, of course it's up to you, but I like a business identity and a personal identity for me. It also splits my data, kind of, you know, I can have data about me professionally, kind of like what I do. Think about LinkedIn today, right?
Yeah.
This is like Web3 for LinkedIn, right? So Unstoppable Domains becomes Web3 for LinkedIn. And then you can have personal information as well. So almost the difference between Facebook and LinkedIn, or, you know, that kind of just differentiation. But I do know others that have different personas as well based on different roles. So one of the things you could do with your Unstoppable Domain is you can link it to an avatar. And I'm also an adjunct professor at Carnegie Mellon. And I may want a professor persona, right? Maybe a little bit more laid back, a little bit researchy, versus a persona of a true business leader that may look a little different. So it really depends upon you, but I always advise people to at least have a business one and a personal one. So for me, I have Sandy.nft that I use everywhere for business. For personal, I use Sandy Carter, more similar to what I would use like in my banking application or for post-use. I have that one as well.
Okay, nice. Well, you're talking about an avatar. Are you then talking about the metaverse, Sandy, or about something else?
Yeah. So, well, inside of your domain, one of the other cool use cases that you can do is you can link your domain today up to a profile picture. So like an NFT that would be associated with you. So you can change that around. But the really powerful part of it is that that profile then can become your digital business card. So I don't know if you remember, but at Web Summit, when you asked me for information, I just pulled out my phone and that digital business card that I showed you was actually from Unstoppable. So it has on my profile picture, it has a little QR code. When you scan that QR code, again, I choose what information I want to share with you. So that provides me the ability to share information as well. Now, we started talking about avatars. So we're working right now with a couple of companies to not just have a profile picture, but to also associate an avatar with your identity too. Well, that's really important, right? Because you go sign into a metaverse, you're not going to use a profile picture. You're actually going to use an avatar. So far we've partnered up with Genie, who's based on Ready Player Me. So any place that that Ready Player Me avatar can go, you know, you can take that avatar with the Sandy.NFT tagged to it, for example. Now, what I think is really, really, really fascinating is that today, if you're looking at the metaverse, which I think is one of the best use cases for Web3, there isn't interoperability. So if I'm using the Unreal Engine from Epic, or if I'm using a Ready Player, I mean, everybody has their different avatars with their different signals on it. And that's one of the reasons why at Web Summit, we joined the Open Metaverse Alliance, or known as OMA3. The chairman of that group is Dirk, who is the CEO of Upland, probably the most popular and most used metaverse today. And it's got folks like Seb, who's the CEO of Sandbox in it, and others. And our vision is for that alliance is to have more interoperability so that you could take that avatar that you've developed, put skins on, you know, put earrings on, whatever you want, that you could take it from one metaverse to another metaverse without worrying about, oops, is this a Ready Player Me, or is this an Epic, or is this a Unity? What is this particular metaverse built on? And so I thought that was a very significant alliance that got announced, and one that I think, you know, can really move the ball forward in this space. Could we get some of that interoperability? It would make it more widespread versus just today for, you know, for a few people who understand more deeply the technology.
Exactly. It's also, you know, for user friendliness for people that are not technical, are new to Web3. If this is the case that you can have this interoperability, that would be really, you know, and I think that for the years to come will be one of the challenges. If you can improve that, then, you know, the world or the metaverses, then we can talk about one metaverse and not all these different metaverse, I would say, islands. One of my guests, I think it was Giovanna or Megan, I'm not sure, one of both talked about, you know, the metaverse actually it's the world, but the little metaverses that you have now, like spatial, yeah, Decentraland, those are countries, but, you know, you can, it's not so easy to travel from one to the other. So if this can change, would be awesome. The same thing with this Ready Player Me avatar, for instance, that you can use the same avatar in every metaverse. Because when I was new at Spatial, actually I'm organizing marketing events for marketers, you know, TED Talks, but then MITI Meta Talks, we call them, in the metaverse. And in the beginning in Spatial, I used my picture, you know, my own face. But then I was thinking, then if I go to Decentraland or somewhere else, I want to look the same. People need to know that this is Yuri's avatar. So yeah, those are some of the challenges or the improvements, I think.
Yeah. I do love Ready Player Me. I met with their founding team at Web Summit, and you know, they tell me they're in 17,000 metaverses, but there's a whole bunch now built with the Unreal Engine from Epic, right? Epic's doing a lot of, and you can't take the Ready Player Me avatar into a Epic situation, and you can't take Epic into a Ready Player Me situation. So I think that interoperability is going to be so important for widespread usage and widespread adoption of the metaverse for sure.
Yeah, I think this is one of the important, you know, challenges. Are there other challenges that you see, things that need to improve for the years to come in the metaverse, Web3, NFT, you know, unstoppable world?
Yeah, it's true. You know, we, because unstoppable domains enables you to use that as your digital identity. And one of the working groups that we have in the OMA is around digital identity too, right? Because right. Wouldn't it be great if you could use that Sandy.NFT to unlock any metaverse? You know, today we've already integrated with a set of them, but what if it could be any metaverse? Or you right. know, that sort of thing that would really enable that to happen. That would be very, very powerful. So I do see a lot of use cases in the metaverse itself. You know, a lot of metaverses today are games. And so, and they're obviously blockchain games. So if you look at leaderboards today yeah. in the metaverse, you'll see that, you know, 0x1a, and you know, that's kind of like a gamer's, like I'm an ex gamer. I guess I should say I'm a gamer, not an ex gamer.
Okay.
I used to game more before I had my kids, but you know, you want to see your name up there, right? You want to see Yuri.NFT or Sandy.NFT. You don't want to see a whole set of letters and numbers. So I do see lots of use cases here for digital identity in the metaverse.
Right. What you love to do also is, you know, speak about this digital identity, metaverse, and so on. What are next events that are coming up, or some events that you can, where people can meet you in the months to come?
Ooh, that's a great question. Yeah. So one of the reasons that I love sharing about it is I love to learn, right? I really abide by the principle of learn and be curious. I think that those who are very curious about new things are those who are most successful, because everything changes like every second in Web3. I feel like something new has happened, right?
It is, yeah.
It's crazy. And so you have to keep learning. And that's why I love to go to these conferences, not just for me to share what I've learned, but I love listening to others to hear what they've learned so that I can add that to my repertoire as well. So the next conference that I'll be headed out to is called Tech Basel. You may know Art Basel in Miami.
Yeah.
Well,
the
mayor of Miami and the mayor of Miami-Dade County are going to now front-end Art Basel with Tech Basel. And it's basically all the Web3 companies are going to be coming out and, you know, jumping into this world. So we've got several conferences there in Miami. So if you're coming to Miami, make sure you ping me, you know, reach out on Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. And then after that, right now, my plans are to head over to Switzerland for the conference there and for Davos for the World Economic Forum.
Whoa, nice.
And yeah, then maybe in between CES, we're going to have to see how that works out.
Whoa. Yeah, so you're a lot on the plane, a lot traveling. So I like that too, because it gives me energy. You were just saying it. I was at the Crypto Business Conference in San Diego. I was there also at the Mastermind. It's a long travel, of course, from Europe to there, to California. But the connections that I make talking to people, this really gives me the energy. And I learned so much in this time. Also at the Web Summit, just connecting with everyone, talking, having discussions, I learn more and I just remember it more than when I'm just sitting there and listening. Of course, it can also be interesting, but that really gives me the energy. And also talking, connecting with people, Sandy, because of course you had no idea who I was, but I just talked to you, said, okay, I knew you from there. Let's just connect. And just by having this discussion. So for me, it's really a lot of value in this. And also, I hope for my listeners that they hear you speak about digital identity. That's really something to dive into. So, Sandy, if people want to know more about digital identity, more about Unstoppable, or more about you, where would you like to send them?
Yeah. So if you're interested in more about digital identity, I've done a couple of blog posts on LinkedIn and on Medium as well, just explaining more details. Obviously, in a podcast, you can't go into all the details that you want to. So,
yeah.
And I have like 20 use cases out there, so you can see the broad spectrum of everything. Our company website is unstoppabledomains.com. And unstoppabledomains.com, you could go out there and look at which digital identity you would like. Our mission is to put digital identity in the hands of everybody. So we want everyone to have their digital identity. Like I said, we do believe that this is a human right. So I do think that those would probably be the best two places to go to start looking at a digital identity. Head over to LinkedIn or Medium. You can look up Sandy Carter or unstoppabledomains.com to go ahead and secure your digital identity. And you can also reach out to me on DMs or whatever to ask questions. I learn as much from the questions I get asked as I do helping others learn by answering the questions. It helps us out. Yeah. And you know, the interesting thing is we're so early right now that some people say, you're the SVP, you've got marketing and all of our business development areas. But I consider myself first and foremost an educator because of the education that still has to be done in this space for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that, you know, also by asking questions, getting answers that you will not even think about because someone asks a question and it gets you thinking about these things. Also, yeah, you mentioned Unstoppable Domains, that there is also a possibility to have a website. So when this podcast, you know, will be released in a couple of weeks, I will have my website, yuri.nft. So if you want to try out, just go to use the browse. The Brave browser and go to yuri.nft and see how a decentralized website looks like. Also, if you have questions about Unstoppable Domains, you can reach out to Sandy on Twitter, but you can also, you know, ping me, ask me questions. I love to talk about that. If you are listening to this podcast and you think that what Sandy talks about in digital identity, Web3 and so on, this is really useful for people around me, be sure to share it with your friends, with your colleagues, with other entrepreneurs, because sharing is caring. And, you know, we can learn every day and the Web3 space is so interesting. I really love for you. If you're not yet subscribed, to follow my podcast. And of course, yeah. Would love to see you back for the next episode. Bye. Hey, if you missed anything, we took all the notes for you on web3.net. The link is also in the podcast description. And also be sure to check out our NFTs on cmo-stories.uncut.fm. And of course, if you like to be connected with me on social media, you can find me on Twitter, or on Instagram, or on LinkedIn, just find me with my username, Yuri Belast. And of course, I hope to see you back for the next podcast episode. Take care.